fellowship.
Verse 11.
And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. The sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. They were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This passage of scripture here, reading about this event, is one of the most sombering, sobering, eye-opening events to ever take place. Amen. This reading of the white throne judgment of God should make the Christian tremble and the sinner get saved. This passage of scripture, the great white throne judgment of God, it is the judgment of the wicked dead, the lost, the ungodly, the reprobates, the religious. And when I say the religious crowd, I'm talking about the I think so, I hope so, almost so. That's not saved. That's not have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. This group known as the socially acceptable and the good, as the world calls, Jesus himself said there's none good, no, not one. All of these will stand before the white throne judgment of God. All of these who have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, mind you, all who have never been born again will be at this white throne judgment. The salvation of God is nothing to play around with. It is nothing to joke about. It is not just a phrase that you say. It's not just repeat after me. It's not just sign this card or say a few words. It is the dealing of the Holy Ghost with lost man in his heart of hearts. When lost man is convicted of Jesus, by the Holy Ghost of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he sees himself as a sinner in need of God, and he points him to Jesus Christ, who is the only Savior, amen, the only way to God. When Jesus said, I am the way, and trust in Jesus Christ, say amen this morning, how wonderful it is to have done that as your Lord and Savior. Every male and female that has ever been born from past to the end of the millennial age will stand and face God at this white throne judgment. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Adolf Hitler will be on his face confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Satan and all of those will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to God the Father. Everyone who is waiting, I mean they're condemned already, but they're waiting the final judgment of God. They're doing so without hope. They're doing so without grace. They're doing so without love, without mercy, without pity. When they stand before God, they'll be without salvation. They'll stand before God without forgiveness. Everyone will do so. They're waiting to hear from God the last thing they'll ever hear before they enter eternity and the lake of fire. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, for I never knew you. This is a sombering event. This is something that should make you and I tremble the very thought that people are going to do so and stand. Here, as we notice a few things about the great white throne, I want you to understand that time has stopped. God has put an end to time as it is. There's no angel singing here. There's no one speaking. There's no talking back at the white throne of God. The only voice is heard is the final judgment of God Almighty on the wicked dead. This throne, as you notice, if you draw our attention here as the Holy Ghost only can, this throne is described as great and white. I want you to know why it is great and white, because who sits on the throne? And that's Almighty God. It is He and He alone, the Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty, who will sit on the throne that all of the wicked dead will stand before. It is the righteous judgment of a holy God. You see, because God doesn't send anyone to hell, man makes a choice. Man chooses now in his mortal life, in this short time that we have, whether he's going to trust Jesus Christ as Savior or not. In the old days, the patriarchs, as Hebrews 11 noted, they came by faith. And you and I, this day and time, were saved by grace as they were through faith. Ephesians 2, 9 and 10. Here is they stand before the throne, and we notice the throne. It is the throne, as I said, of God Almighty. It is no longer a mercy seat for someone to attain mercy. This throne of God in judgment is no longer a throne of grace. There'll be no grace given this day when men stand. It's no longer a throne of propitiation where God can do the work through Christ to propitiate man, reconciling the world to himself. All that is over. There's no place here, no throne of forgiveness as they stand before God, the wicked dead. And Hebrews 12:29 reminds us, for our God is a consuming fire. Hebrews 10:31 tells us that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Hebrews 10:30, Jesus said this, "Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord." This place is where the dead will receive what they've asked for. This day and time, people in all the ages have rejected God and rejected offering. We have the same outline from Cain all the way through. Cain would not offer the lamb. Cain would not trust the lamb. Cain would not offer the blood. This day and time, folks reject the blood of Jesus Christ and will not trust Him as Savior. And all of the world and all of mankind, in the history of mankind, there's only two kind of folks, the saved and the lost. Amen. That's it. There's no in between. I almost, well, God knows my heart. Yes, He does. That's why He wants to save you. This generation has a group that said, claims, well, we were born this way. Yes, you were. You were born lost and undone without God. That's why He died for you. Well, God knows I still have this affliction. I trusted Him, but I'm still a drunkard. I'm still an adulterer. God doesn't save us in our sins. He saves us from our sins. Amen. Say amen to that. Amen. What good would salvation be if God saved us and left us a drunkard, an adulterer, and a curser and a whoremonger in this world? What salvation would that be? Thank God He saves us and puts our feet on solid ground. Amen. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He's not something else. He is a new creature. Thank God for that. We're talking about the great white throne. Notice the greatness of it. It's the last of the judgments of God Himself on mankind. Heaven and earth have fled from the very face of this throne. If you don't understand what that means, that God has destroyed heaven and earth. Heaven and earth that were created in the very first phrase in the opening of our blessed book in Scripture. And it says God created heaven and earth. This same heaven and earth is going to be destroyed before the righteousness and the holiness of God, before the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. It removes all traces of sin from the universe. Because sin, where it originated in the heavens of God and Satan himself, when the Bible describes that iniquity was found in him, carried to earth, we accepted it. And this old earth that we live in has been a sin-soaked world ever since. Ever since. Well, God's the God of this world. No, Satan is the God of this world. He's the God of this world. Jesus said, if my kingdom were of this world, then mine would rise and fight for me. This greatness of this throne is described in the power that is, the power that's there. It leaves, as God destroys heaven and earth, it leaves man no place to stand and no place to hide. With no heaven and no earth, the white throne judgment suspended in space somewhere, somehow. And God draws after He empties hell and empties death and empties the earth and empties all that there are of the dead to be risen to stand before Him. If you're not sure about the destruction of the earth, the Bible tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, listen as I read, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night." You can mark her down, judgment's coming to mankind whether they believe in Him or not. Amen. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. God will even eliminate the very elements that hold the earth and heaven together. It will all be destroyed and gone. Judgment of God from the face of God at this great white throne judgment. The white, it purposes and shows us the holiness, the righteousness, and the glory of He who is sitting on the throne. That is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He is high and lifted up whether we make Him so or not. The seraphim cry, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty," night and day, whether we remember to praise Him or not. The white describes the one who is seated upon the throne. It describes the Lord Jesus Christ. This one who judges all is the one who is rejected, mocked, cursed, denied, ignored, refused, laughed at, made the end of jokes. He is despised. He is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 4:8 describes him as the Lord, the righteous judge. It is he and he alone who sits on this great white throne and judges the wicked dead. This morning I want to preach this passage of scripture from here. This Sunday morning, part two is going to be next Sunday morning. Very sombering passage of scripture, very eye-opening. Should make you and I tremble. And what the message is, what I want us to see is in verse 12, John said, I saw the dead. I saw the dead. And I want you to hear me as your preacher and a pastor. I want you to hear me and hear me well. The lost man is never going to see unless you and I see first. Unless you and I see the lost and the need of the dead, they'll never see. Never see. You and I as the church, you and I as Christians, we need to see the dead. We need to understand that our family members are going to be at this white throne judgment one day without hope. We need to see that this community is dying and going to hell. We have the gospel and we need to get it to them. We need to see folks we know, our neighbors, folks that we run into, folks at the grocery store, folks at the pharmacy, folks at the doctor's office, everyone you pass by, they're either saved or lost, and you and I need to see them as needing a Savior. You and I need to have the boldness of God and the Spirit of God and the touch of God in our lives to be that bold witness, but only you and I can only, and only you and I. Oh, many times we expect the world, well, why don't they see? My question to us is, why don't we see? John said, I saw the dead. I don't know, I've heard preachers say it, and I have no Bible for it, but men say that you and I one day will be standing off the redeemed, and we'll watch the dead go by, be cast in the lake of fire. I find no scripture for that. I don't think it'll happen. I don't think it'll take place, but John the Revelator, he had to see and he watched as these walked by. I wonder how many of his own family he saw walk by. I wonder how many that he saw. And if you and I will ever see our own family in that line, I do believe it'll help us get more encouraged and excited about winning the lost and inviting folks to church. If we truly ever get a good glimpse of the dead and what's going to take place when they stand before God, I do believe it'll get us excited about trying to win folks for Christ. I believe we'll get right down to the business and ask folks eyeball to eyeball, heart to heart, tell me, are you really saved? And regardless of the answer they give you, ask for a testimony. Then tell me how it took place. Because every one of us in here, we're going to heaven or hell one day. And it all depends on how you and what you've dealt with in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. How we've trusted Him or accepted Him. How you've been born again or not. Again, the religious crowd, the hope so's, the maybe so, I think so, they're all going to find their place in the lake of fire. The good church teenager that sat on the pew and sang and went to Bible school and got certificates and smiled and grinned and everybody loved is going to the same hell if they don't trust Christ as the most wicked of men that's ever been in history. You and I think that there's different levels of hell and different kinds of hell, but John said, I just saw the dead, the dead. They're dead and removed from God. They're dead and eternally separated. They're condemned already waiting for that judgment. And again, if you and I ever see this great need that's in our area, in our community, God didn't put this church in Africa. God didn't put this church in Europe. God didn't put this church on Valley View, Old Valley School Road in Kernersville, North Carolina. And He has one expectation for us is to reach the dead in this area with Christ. Will they come? That's up to them. Will they trust? That's up to them. Will they believe? That's up to them. Amen. But you and I sure can sow and you and I sure can water. Amen. It takes God to give the increase. Amen. So I'm going to preach this morning the message title here, part one, and I saw the dead. And I saw the dead. Father, help us this morning as we preach from this passage of Scripture, Lord, to help us see and understand this day and time, the age we live in and what's going on around us. Lord, the great need for us to be soul winners, to carry out the precious seed, to be a ready witness morning, noon, and night to those we're around, to those we know, that everybody who knows us knows where we stand and the gospel that we have trusted. In the name of Jesus, we pray this morning. Amen, amen, amen. How wonderful it is to be able to know the Lord Jesus Christ and know that you're saved. So many folks say you can't know. I've talked to so many folks say, well, this is a hope so. I'm here to tell you this morning, this book is not a hope so. This book is not a maybe so. This book is a I know so. Amen. Paul said, I know whom I believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed to him against that day. You and I that have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, we know who we believe. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not a mystery. He's revealed in all the books of the Bible. Everyone. Amen. He is God the Son and the Son of God. He is the living God. He's the Ancient of Days. He's the Eternal One. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. So many folks say, well, when you get to heaven, you won't see God, but you'll see Jesus. You got to be kidding me. He's God, one and the same. Amen, amen. Thank God for that. Salvation is not something different to you and different to me. It's the same. As I said a moment ago, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. If I've got a squirrel in a cage and I tell you I made me a new creature and I pull the cover off and he's still a squirrel, you're going to think I'm crazy. Well, you said it was a new creature. That's still a squirrel. Well, the old lost man that you and I were, regardless, you are now a new creature. You have different desires and different loves and different longings, and you have somebody that you can call to whose name is Jesus Christ. You have someone who loves you, who's looking after you, who's written your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, that you'll never stand at this judgment seat. Let me say that right now. You as a child of God will never, don't worry about it, you're not going to stand at the white throne judgment of God. Sin is not in your future. Sin will never come up. You'll not be held accountable for one sin, because if you and I were held accountable for just one sin, the wages of sin is death. God would have no choice but to condemn us to the lake of fire forever. Amen. But in our churches, it's full of folks who don't really care. Full of folks who halfway try to attend church. Full of folks who just go through the motion. And my heart just bleeds for churches, because I know when God puts a man in a church and he preaches the gospel of that church, God knows that there's people in that church that are lost and heading to hell. They're playing games. They're acting like. They're seeming like. But they've never truly trusted, I mean, giving their whole heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they know when God knows. They know the fact. When I see the dead, notice four things I've written down here about this group of the dead. Today we have a great day of apostasy. This means there's no difference. No interest in the Lord Jesus Christ. This day of apostasy, it's an indifference to the things of Jesus. There's a I don't care attitude in the world today. There's no fear. I muse when I see these youngins put on the back of their car, no fear. No fear. You face Almighty God, I promise you, you will fear. You and I, as children of God, we reverence God with a holy fear and a righteous fear. This day and age of apathy, Hebrews chapter 10, the Lord ask this question. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 28 and 29, it poses this: he that despised Moses' law, and that was the law that Moses gave, he died without mercy under two or three witnesses. In other words, he was stoned to death. And he asked this question of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. The Holy Ghost asks, if men died under the judgment of the law of Moses, he says, what do you think the punishment ought to be for a man who saw me at the cross, the man who takes my blood that will wash away his sins, and no more than gum on his shoe just wipes it off, and the man who takes my spirit of grace, that open arm of Jesus Christ given to the lost, and slaps my hand and says, I'll have nothing to do with you. God asks us, what do you think the punishment should be? That ought to make the saints tremble. Your family, I have family in hell right now waiting the judgment of the lake of fire. I have family members and folks that I know already, they're lost. They're condemned already. They're waiting this great judgment one day. It's a lack of interest in our generation. They don't care. They laugh. I witnessed to men at work, young boys at work, whatever you want to call them. They laugh, they mock, they blow it off. I've got it worked out with the old man upstairs. I'm doing my thing. Well, I believe in something, but I just, you know, but we believe kind of like y'all. Well, you know, I don't understand, Rev. There's all one God. Everybody believes all over the world. It's still saying God. All this day of apathy. This indifference to Jesus Christ. He came unto His own. His own received Him not in the world today. This is the message to our church that we see the dead. If anybody should be excited about this thing, it ought to be us. If anybody should have a good realization of what's fixing to take place, it should be us. Amen. If we get a somber look at what hell really is in the lake of fire and this judgment, we'll see the dead in a different light. Their indifference to Jesus, but you and I ought to be a light for this world. To do everything we can. How sad it is. Number two, I notice this. This is a day of great apostasy. Not only indifference to Jesus Christ, but folks are indifferent to sin this day and time. I'm not that old. I'm only 55, born in 1964. But I remember back in the early days at Bonsavane Baptist Church, on the streets of Bonsavane up there in Coal Mine, that big old church bell would ring on Sunday morning. When's the last time you heard a church bell ringing? Church bells don't ring anymore, do they? Church bell would ring and let the whole community know it's time to take you into church. Everybody say amen. And if you was the old drunk in town or the person that didn't claim to be a church goer, that person had reverence for the house of God on Sunday morning. Amen. There's no reverence for the house of God at all. Amen. There's not much reverence for the house of God anymore in the house of God. We act like we come to church and church is about me. It's not about God. I want everybody to hear, as long as I'm preaching here, church is about God. Amen. This thing isn't about you. This thing isn't about me. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one to be magnified. He is the one to be high and lifted up. Amen. Say amen right there. Amen. It's all about God. It's so sad that they would respect in those days the house of God. They would have respect for the things of God. This day and time, this day and age of apostasy, there's an indifference to sin. Doesn't matter to us. Doesn't bother me. Pride. Pride is allowing sin and the rights, so-called rights that our government gives, is allowing filth to walk down the streets of America today. Talking to a preacher friend of mine when they were in California here not too long ago, Methodist Church in California had a gay banner out on the outside of the church, 50 feet high from the top, the flag drug plumb to the ground down here. At the church, so-called church. It is a sign of this indifference to sin. And so many folks in church have an indifference to sin. Oh, we'll look across the pew at somebody else's family or somebody else's children and say, well, you know, they ought to be. But we'll look at our own family and let it go, let it slide. So many preachers stand boldly in the throne, up here at the pulpit, and they stand boldly and preach about this until their little grandkids start it. And then they kind of ease up. God help us. Yes, that's right. Then they look the other way when it's in their own family. That's right. Apostasy, this indifference to sin. Romans chapter 1 verse 32 gives this condemnation. You can read the chapter. You know it well. But it gives this condemnation of this age and the age of apostasy that's been throughout. What do you mean apostate? Turning from, falling from. When Cain, the first one, was offered by God Himself, bring a lamb, son, it'll be accepted of you. And he turned and said, I will not. You see, Cain piled up the works of his own hand and said, God, if you don't take what I'm willing to give you, then I have nothing to give you. This day and time and indifference, the Lord said this, Romans 1:32, who knowing, I want you to understand this as a child of God. People know. They know. The Holy Ghost convicts. Romans 1 says they'll be without excuse. They know. They know. They know. God's doing His work. If you and I aren't getting the gospel out, the Holy Ghost is still at work. Amen. They know. They'll hear. They'll know. Who knowing the judgment of God. What are we preaching on this morning? This judgment of God that's coming. They know the judgment of God. That they which commit such things are worthy of death. They understand hell. They understand the judgment of God. They understand the lake of fire. God created us. But they not only do the same, the verse says, but have pleasure in them that do them. People will shack up today. They'll live together. I've already experienced in two churches I've pastored. Blows my mind. Man and a woman split up, start having an affair with somebody else, and come back in church grinning like a possum. Big trouble I had, you turn around and look, and they're singing in the choir. God help us. And then the other members in the church are just smiling and grinning. Aren't you glad they're back? God help us. God help us. This day and age to wake up. They know. They know the judgment of God, but they have pleasure. They'll sit and say, oh, I know. I'm saved. I'm doing okay. No, they're not. You and I need to see things for what they truly are. Amen. We need to see the dead. Not see, well, we know they're good folks. They're okay. This is not a question of who's good folks morally. Who's good folks in a community? Who's a good person? Well, there's folks that are lost as they can be. They are good as God. Jesus even gave the example. He said, if wicked man knows how to give good gifts, he says, how much more will your Father in heaven? He used the example over and over of lost man. He said, they do good. They're able to do so. Brother Roman again said in Sunday school this morning, he asked us not to go just a little ways, but go that 2 mile, that second mile. Amen. Walk a mile with them. Walk the next mile for free. They know they have an indifference to sin. It doesn't bother them. It doesn't bother this generation to flaunt sin before God. When I was young, when we done something wrong, we didn't run and tell mom and daddy. You lost your mind? You didn't either. You hid it. You didn't want them to know. We'd hide sin. This day and time, they don't try to hide sin. They're prideful in their sin. Number three, it's the great arrival. Then we have the great apathy. It's indifference to Jesus. We have the great apostasy. The indifference to sin. We have the great arrival today. It's indifference to salvation. This means about the age of Aquarius. Everybody remember that back in the days of the hippies? This is the age of enlightenment. Oh, I know. I understand. You see, this is what Satan offered in the garden if Eve would just disobey God. That your eyes will be open. How much do you hear today about enlightenment? At church such and such, we're here to enlighten you. We're not here to enlighten. No, no, no. That's the work of the Holy Ghost. We're here to preach the gospel that you might be saved. Amen. Satan offers enlightenment. Satan offers the fact that you don't need God to know. You don't need God to tell you what to do. You're your own man. You can be your own God. They sing songs about that today. I was sitting in the break room one morning there, and a couple of guys was talking about this rap singer, filthy, ungodly mess. And as I had my back turned, they were talking about him and his presence on stage. And one guy who claims to be a Christian said, boy, he'd make a good preacher. I choked. I got into conversation right then, right there. Whoop, being I am one. Whoop, 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 whoop. I turned around. I said, what do you mean he'd make a good preacher? The other guy said, boy, he just stands on stage and the lights ain't even on. And he gets on the microphone and goes, I say, growls like a dog. That stirs the crowd. Oh, you ain't never heard it. You ain't never heard it. I said, I thank God I ain't never heard it. I said, but you all just hear him. He influences people. I said, Satan's an influencer.
That's right.
I want you to remember, Jesus didn't come to influence. Jesus came to die on the cross for our sins. Jesus came to be lifted up. And if any man, whosoever shall call, he'll make a good preacher. He went on to say, well, if he gets off all the drugs, he's going to make a good one. This great arrival that anybody who says anything about God automatically becomes spiritual. Spirituality isn't something that we spray on like a cologne or perfume or bug spray.
That's right.
I can't stand the stuff, so don't nobody spray that stuff on me. It makes me sneeze, every bit of it. The Holy Ghost is God Almighty.
Amen.
There's no difference. The work that he's doing in this earth is a holy work, a right work. He's doing his God best, as only he can, to keep people from the appointment that they're going to have with him at that white throne. In this age of arrival, in Hebrews 2:3, it asks this question, how shall we escape? Now, we're talking about indifference to salvation. Don't matter to me. Doesn't really matter. Our churches this day and time, they don't give clear presentations of the gospel that Jesus died and was buried and rose again. Come and smile and say a few words and sign a card you're in. God help us. What helped in the Holy Ghost conviction of a man's heart? I want to see some tears. Babies cry when they're born. I want to see some shaking. I want to see some real evidence that God has dealt with a man. Well, you can't tell when God comes by. Have you lost your mind? Really? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Well, to the church, first off, we've neglected the gospel message because we don't get it out anymore. We don't get it out. Churches aren't doing the job. Let me ask you this. When's the last time somebody was at your house from an independent Baptist church knocking on your door inviting you to church? When's the last time somebody came to your house? If somebody's been at your house in the last year, raise your hand. There's one in this church. If somebody's been at your house in the last 5 years, raise your hand. If somebody's been at your house from a good old church knocking on your door inviting you in the last 10 years, raise your hand. Maybe for us, maybe in the last 15, Gail, 20 years, I live 0.3 mile from a Baptist church. Calvary Baptist Church is in King, 8 miles away. Woodland Baptist Church runs vans all in front of our house all the time. There's not been a soul at our door probably within the last 20 years other than Jehovah's Witnesses. They're not coming to your house. Where are they going? Where are they going? There's nobody comes to our house. We're living witnesses of this. This is the neglect of this great salvation. And this gospel message that Jesus died and was buried and rose again, this is what leads to salvation. Amen. It leads to salvation. You trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior because you realize you're a sinner lost and dying and going to hell under Holy Ghost conviction. You realize you are lost and undone without Christ. You realized you need a Savior. You repented. That's a change of your mind. I don't like this. I don't want to die and go to hell. I want to go to heaven. I want God to save me. And you said, Lord Jesus, save me. And he did. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That is a covenant of a holy God. And whosoever... And for all you Calvinists, it doesn't say whensoever. It says whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. God said this, shall be saved. Amen. Little youngin' in Bible school, an adult in church, mission field, mission work, down in Brownsville, Texas, into prisons, doesn't matter where. If they truly, with an open, broken heart, repent and turn to God and call on Him by faith and salvation, they will be saved.
Amen.
So thank God for that. This age of arrival, it's indifference to salvation. We don't really care. Doesn't really matter to us. Doesn't matter if a person's saved or lost. How sad that is in our church homes, in our church families. Well, you know, I've got family that I hope you're a strong voice for God. I hope you make their life so miserable with the gospel that they don't even want to talk to you or be around you. Now, I want you to understand something from Brother Steve. Let me ask you this. Let me come down here real close up front with us. Come up close. You ready? Would you rather your family member be mad at you or stand before this judgment seat that I'm preaching about today? And I'm just getting scratched on the surface. We ain't got bad till next week. This is the judgment of Almighty God. I remember you heard, there's no mercy here. There's no forgiveness. There's no love. There's no pity. There's no loving eyes of a Savior looking down a lost man and saying, come unto me. There's no eyes of a loving Savior, crucified, risen again, seated on the right, that's stretching out our arms that says, all ye that thirst. Oh no, there's nothing there. It's just the judgment of God Almighty. And there's only one end result. It's going to be the lake of fire. There's no, well, I did, no pleading. You've heard me say there's no question there. There's no discussion. There's no, well, let's look and see. Well, you know, I know you didn't. Oh, no, no. It's nothing about that. It's just what you did for Jesus in your life. So would you rather your family be mad at you and move out and never talk to you again, or stand before the white throne judgment of God? That's this whole message. When we see the dead, when you see our families and friends and your neighbors and where they're going to be one day, what does it really matter to us? Well, you know, every time I say something, they get mad. Well, they're supposed to. You know why? Because if you've got a cut on your hand, you get salt in it. What does it feel good? What does it do, youngins? It burns. You know what you are in this world? You are salt. And when you're telling somebody about Jesus, you're pouring salt in that open wound of their heart. And it's let me tell you, like the country, it posts to. That's the way I like, Maxine, that's the way I really talk. It's supposed to hurt. Everybody, all right? It's supposed to hurt. It's supposed to burn. It's supposed to make them mad. It's supposed to. Last, look at this. This is the great appointment. Their indifference to judgment. Their indifference today is to judgment of God. We've already read in Romans 1, who knowing the judgment of God, they'll be without excuse, who knowing the judgment of God, their indifference to Jesus, the great apathy of the hour, their indifference to sin, the great apostasy, their indifference to salvation, they know, oh, they're light, they're smart. If you don't think this generation's smart, just ask them. They know everything. Teenager, he comes of age and realizes what? He knows more than mom or dad. And he's a smart little punk now. He knows everything. Gil and I was at a hot dog place somewhere, and I like hot dogs. There was a sign on the wall. It said, attention to all teenagers. Something like that, I guess. Attention to all teenagers. Since you already know everything, and you've got it all made, and you understand, your bags are packed on the front porch. Go get you a job and a house and a car yourself. Say amen right there. Another word, Miss. Time to skedaddle on out of there. Yeah. Yeah. Aiding and abetting, youngins, isn't a good thing.
That's right.
Aid and abet the lost. And just to look the other way. I'm talking about this great appointment, this indifference to judgment. Hebrews 9:27 says this, if there's not a stronger voice, a verse in the Bible, listen to this, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Everybody's been, you and I are going to face death. I'm not afraid of death. Not afraid of it. Not a bit in it. It's a passage from this life to see my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Whether it's by the grave or by the rapture, I'm going to see Jesus.
Amen.
I don't look forward to the day of the Bema seat when I stand before Him and answer for all the failures I've had in my life as a Christian, as a preacher, and as a pastor.
Yes.
You've had failures? You're looking at a failure. It's not about me. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ being able to work through me.
Yes.
That's the only good I've ever done in my life, what Jesus has done. Listen to this. After this, He promises, once you die, the judgment's coming. The judgment's coming. Well, I'm going to be reincarnated into a butterfly. What person would actually even think that? Don't hit that cow. That's Aunt Bertha. She's laying over there. Glad you didn't call her that while she's alive. Aunt Bertha the cow. My word. This ideology of today is just crazy. It's speeding towards this coming age. Satan is preparing the world to receive himself. Everybody understand that?
Yes.
Satan is preparing the world. He's preparing a church that will receive him with open arms today. Today. Jesus said this. This is it. I'm done. John 5, verse 28 and 29. He says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear His voice, and shall come forth. They that have done good, unto the resurrection of life. And they that have done evil, unto the resurrection of damnation. When I see the dead, when I see the dead as the Lord sees the dead, when I see the dead, when Preacher Steve sees the dead, I'll be a ready witness for Christ. I'll be someone who has tracks and chick tracks. I like chick tracks. Did I say I really like chick tracks? I love chick tracks. I put them out on tables down at work. They come through there and throw them away every day. I put out more on the tables. I love This Was Your Life. I put them out. I have tracks ready. Drive through. We have tracks ready in the car door to hand out to folks, to talk to folks, to witness to folks. But I pray the Lord allows me to see the dead in Kernersville like never before.
Amen.
And Maxine, they're going to stand before God and give an account. Oh, no. Oh, no. They're not giving an account. They're just going to stand before God and be judged. Mm-hmm. What's the end of all? Great or small, as we'll look into it next week a little further. Great or small, it doesn't matter who they are, young or old, rich or poor, who have they been, who, where they were, what family, what rank, what royalty or not, what class, doesn't matter. They're all going to stand before God and be condemned to the lake of fire. Yes. But this morning, with heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm asking you, as Holy Ghost be witness unto the Lord Jesus Christ, quite simply, are you saved? Don't you play with God. God can require your life today. Your life can be snuffed out today. An aneurysm, a heart attack, something can take you today. If not, the rapture could take place today. If you've heard the gospel and rejected in this age of grace, you will not be able to be saved during the tribulation period. 2 Thessalonians tells us that plainly. If you have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll watch these movies and these publications and books. It says, oh, once the rapture takes place, oh, then you can get saved. Oh, no. Oh, no. Would God be witness with your heart today? Would you stand with your face to God and say, Lord, I've trusted you as my Savior. You know I have. Or do you need to deal with the Lord this morning before it is eternally too late? If you need to trust Jesus Christ, if you need to be saved, come this morning, I'll have somebody take the Bible and show you how to be saved. Jesus said, as I quoted a bit ago, thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart. God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For the heart, man believeth in the righteous with the mouth. Confession is made for salvation. What your heart feels and deals with God, your mouth will say, Lord Jesus, I trust you as my Savior. Don't leave here lost. Don't leave here not knowing the Lord. You and I that are saved, I hope we're praying right now, Lord, open my eyes to the lost. Allow me to get a fresh and new vision of lost men, women, boys and girls that are going to hell. They're going to stand at the lake of fire. And Lord, help me to do everything physically as you work through me to do above and beyond all that we're capable of doing to try to win the lost for Christ in this age we live in. Are you saved this morning? If you are saved, do you see the dead? John said, I saw the dead. I saw them. I don't think he was ever the same. Ever the same. You and I, and God shows us the dead, will never be the same. To be saved, don't be indifferent. Don't think it's going to pass you by. Don't fool yourself and say, well, one day I will. Don't fool yourself and say, well, I got to work some things out, and when I get straightened up, then I'll get right. It's never going to happen unless Jesus Christ does this great work. Unless he gives the increase, it'll never take place. Amen.